I am pumped up today. I tell you what, I don't have a chance. Normally I sweat. I'm already sweating. But my adrenaline's going today. I went out street preaching with Bob yesterday. Went out downtown Cedar Woolley and started preaching the gospel to people, random strangers. Got told no thank you quite a few times. Entered some good conversations with some people. It was a very, very interesting event. It was a good learning experience. But today on this message, my heart, my adrenaline is going. I'm excited about this message. This is a good message. I just pray that I'm able to deliver it as it's worthy to be delivered. So with that, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I just pray that you would empower me with your Holy Spirit to present this message with the attention that it deserves, with the attention that it requires. God, I just pray that you would open up our hearts to receive this message and that you would be with us, Lord, as we fellowship and gather in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Philippians in chapter 3. I need to turn there myself. And go ahead and read with me beginning in verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Jesse Owens was an amazing athlete of the 1936 Olympic Games in Berlin, Germany. He dazzled the onlooking world by his victory in winning 4 Olympic gold medals. What made his victory most impressive was that it was against what everyone had predicted. One public figure in particular contended that surely his supreme white race would be victorious in the games. That would be Adolf Hitler. Jesse's victories openly proclaimed to all onlookers that it was the effort that won the race and not where someone is born or the color of their skin. He is credited with the following quote: "In the end, it's extra effort that separates a winner from second place. But winning takes a lot more than that, too. It starts with complete command of the fundamentals. Then it takes desire, determination, discipline, and self-sacrifice. And finally, it takes a great deal of love, fairness, and respect for your fellow man. Put all these things together, and even if you don't win, how can you lose?" That basically sums up our passage today. I titled this message, How to Win a Race. And Paul here is talking about in this passage about how we can win the race. Look at verse 12. Paul outlines the message that he is fixing to give us in verse 12. When I say he outlines, he's going to tell us what he's going to tell us. He introduces his passage here by saying this: "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Now Paul left off in verse 11. He said this, he said, "If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." If you remember the lesson from last week, that phrase that he uses, the resurrection of the dead, is talking about what? this isn't going to work.
Go ahead, answer.
Nobody remembers. Man, I got to sharpen up my preaching skills. To attain to the resurrection of the dead, if you remember, is the glorification that we have, that we look forward to in Christ Jesus. So Paul is talking about that. Paul left off with the statement that through Christ we will attain the resurrection of the dead. That is the glorification that we will one day receive when we are rejoined with Christ. Now, if Paul had left off there, someone might say, well, we've already obtained that. And you hear that a lot in Christianity. Someone's thinking that we've already obtained the glorification. So Paul, like he always does, he doesn't want anybody to misunderstand him. So he's always kind of fine-tuning what he says. And the verses, the passages that we're going to look at today are Paul's fine-tuning of that phrase. Here is the outline. Not already obtained or already perfect. I follow after Dioko to run after in order to catch, that I may apprehend Katalambano to lay hold of, to make my own. And I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Like I said, the title today is How to Win a Race. How to win a race. We are in a race. We are in a race against ourselves. We are in a race against our sin nature. And we are, the prize that we are after in our race is our glorification. Now, Paul first starts off in verse 13 with the big don't. If you're going to run a race, don't do this. Look at verse 13 with me. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I count not myself to have apprehended. If you are going to win a race, don't think that you have already won the race. Don't think that you have arrived. When you think about Paul, what comes to mind? What are some things that come to mind when you think of Paul? Okay, martyrdom. Paul, martyrdom. Paul, his whole life was, he martyred himself for Christ. He was all about his faith. Good. He got thrown in jail. In fact, this very letter was written from prison. What's some other things that we think about when we think about Paul?
Tenacious.
He would not stop. He would keep on going no matter what opposition he ran into. Something else. What's that? He was mature. That's good. And we see the evidence of his maturity in his Bible study. Paul spent 3 years in the Arabian desert under the study of the Word after he got saved. Before he got saved, he was a Pharisee, which a requirement to be a Pharisee was to memorize the first 5 books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. Paul was an avid Bible student. In fact, when he was in prison for the second time, he writes to Timothy on his deathbed, knowing that he's about to be martyred. And what does he say? He says, bring me my Bible. Bring me the parchments and the scrolls. So Paul was an avid Bible student. He was a holy man. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I keep under my body, I beat my body, so that I can be holy, so that I can attain the prize. Paul was a Christian soldier. No one was more diligent or tenacious, as we say, to preach the gospel, no matter what he went through. He was a soldier of soldiers. If anyone could say that they had attained, if anyone could say that they had arrived, if anyone could just sit back and relax the rest of his life and be comfortable in what he's accomplished up to this point, it would be Paul. But Paul says, I count not myself to have obtained. And what Paul's doing here is he's making a decision. Paul is making a decision to never say, I have arrived. Because he is well aware that the mentality that says, I have arrived, is self-destructive in its very nature. He knows that the mentality that says, I have arrived, will only cause the following. It will cause you to cease to grow. As soon as you say, I've arrived, that's it. You're not going to grow anymore. It will cause you to cease to work out your faith. And everybody knows when you quit going to the gym, what happens? Yeah, you don't stay the same. You go backwards. He knows as soon as he says, I have arrived, he ceases to live by faith and to please God. Because only faith can please God. And he knows as soon as he says, I have arrived, he ceases to learn. Prime example is the Pharisees. They thought they had arrived. And because of that, they were blind to the truths, the teachings of Christ. To think that you have arrived is a cancer. It is a plague, a disease that permeates you and hinders you from any spiritual growth whatsoever in God. Paul knows he hasn't arrived. He knows that no matter what he has done or what he knows, God always has more to offer. Paul knows that, and so he says, I count not myself to have arrived. But you know the thing that amazes me? The thing that amazes me is that Paul, in all those things, the way that he is, he knows that he has not arrived. But so many of us think that we have arrived. Be honest with yourself. You get tired of hearing the same old sermons, the same old content. I heard an individual yesterday tell me, it's all the same thing. I'm never learning anything new. Well, that says more about them than it does about the sermons. It says more about them than it does about the Bible. We think that there's nothing left worth working for, as if we've already gotten our pass into heaven, and that is good enough. I'm not going to get bogged down with all the reasons why that's wrong, because the truth is, you probably already know. You probably already know all the reasons why it's wrong to think that you've arrived. But ask yourself this. Since you have thought that you have arrived, be honest with yourself. Is your faith and your love for God stronger or weaker? Is your faith and your love for God more passionate or more apathetic? Listen. Don't you miss the first passion? Don't you miss the love, the spark that you had when you first got saved? That I can't learn enough. I can't get out of my Bible. That I got to tell everybody what I've found because I have found a great treasure and I know that they need it too. Don't you miss that? You got to want it. If you're going to win a race, you can't take it for granted. You can't think that you've already arrived. If you're going to win a race, you got to want to win. You got to see what's in front of you and head for it. You got to realize that you can still grow, that you can still learn. You have to acknowledge that there is always more to your faith and never settle for good enough. There are several do's to winning a race, but it has to start with the major don't. The major don't. Don't think that you've arrived. You can do all the do's, but as soon as you buy into that I have arrived, that I don't have anything else I can learn, You're dead. You're done. And you will not win the race. Now that's what we do not do if we want to win a race. More specifically, what do we do in order to win this race, which is toward our glorification? Paul outlines four things in our text, four do's to win the race. Now these things are very simple. There's nothing complicated about it. And anybody who makes the gospel or anybody who makes the teachings of the Word of God complicated probably doesn't really understand them. They are very simple, they're very easy to understand, but yet they are so profound in their truth. These are the four things. First, forget the things outside of the race. Forget everything else going on outside of the race. Second, reach for the things you want to obtain. Reach for them. Stretch yourself out. Third, keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the prize. Motivate yourself. And fourth, maintain the strategy. Maintain the strategy. Strategy doesn't do you any good if you quit doing it halfway through the race. For some of us, what holds us back isn't that we think we've arrived, but it's an inability to let go of the old things. Really, to let go of what we know. When we talk about the old things, we talk about what we know. And what causes us not to want to let those things go? Well, the old things, we trust in them. We trust in what we know. Right? They're comfortable to us. They give us comfort. Even if they're messed up sometimes. You look at some women who live in battered homes and for some reason they just can't seem to leave those battered homes. And they subject themselves to that abuse and that torment day after day and year after year. And you wonder why. And when questioned, they say, well, this is all I know. I don't know how to let go. And that's very similar to the Christian person who can't let go of the old things. Paul says this, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul says, you know that old system that says you have to earn your salvation? Forget that. You know that old way that you said in order to meet your own needs by stealing or lying or partying or fighting, that system? Forget that. Put it all behind you. Quit looking at that. The system that says that you have to be socially acceptable to everyone, that you have to live up to everyone's standards, forget all of that. Remember we talked about that last sermon. Count it all as lost. Let it all go. Forget it. You got to be focused to win a race. If you're going to run a race, you can't have your mind locked in on what you had for breakfast. If you're going to run a race and win a race, you can't be thinking about the flat tire that you got on the way to the track. You got to have your mind focused. You have to have it set on what you're doing right then. Class, you got to get this. Because a lot of us are going or aren't going anywhere in our faith because we're locked in on the old things. You're worried about looking cool or finding a mate or whether your friends will accept your stand for your faith. Whatever thing it is that's getting in the way of your relationship with God, you're locked in on those old things instead of the things of Christ, instead of the race that we're in. And you don't know how it happened, but somehow, over the years, you've been robbed of your joy in the Lord. And you let these things, these old things, control you and change the way that you act or the way that you respond to God's Word or to God's relationship, His Holy Spirit, which speaks to you. These things become your driving force instead of the Word of God, instead of His holiness, instead of His teaching and His love. Look, if you're going to win a race, you got to be willing to take all those old things and let them go. Quit focusing on them. Turn it all over to God and give it to Him. Forget the old things and focus on what? Focus on what? The new things. Focus on Christ. Amen. The second thing that we have to do is reach out for what you are trying to obtain. Give it all you got. You're not going to win a race being apathetic. How are you going to win a race? How are you going to win a race? Help me out.
Practicing.
Practicing. How are you going to win a race? If you're in the race, how are you going to win it? What's that?
Really, the next shirt.
Really? I can't hear you.
Reel in the next shirt.
How are you going to win a race?
By keep going.
By keeping on going. How about this? Are you going to win a race by sitting on the sidelines? Are you going to win a race by giving it a half-hearted effort? How about just going halfway and then stopping? And just taking it easy. No, you win a race by giving it all you got. From the time you start, from the time that gun hits, and they say go, to the time you hit the finish line. And that's what Paul says next. He says this, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Reaching forth is the Greek. It means to stretch out. And it bears an image of a man who's running a race and he's running with all he's got and he's coming up on the finish line and right up to the very last step, he is reaching out, he is stretching out for that finish line. See, if you're going to win a race, that's what you got to do. One thing you can be sure of with a half-hearted effort is that you will come in dead last. So many of us get all geared up for the race. You know, we put our nice dress shoes on, we put our ties on, even when it's hot, even when we're sweating. We look good though, right? Got our big Bible in our hands. We got our memory verses down, but what? That's all we do. We fall short of the passion that is required to win a race. We fall short of that leaping out, that stretching out all the way to the very end, that giving it every single thing that you have. And there is a sense of apathy that plagues us. We just can't seem to get motivated or excited about anything anymore. The Christian faith is the most exciting, exhilarating experience in your life. And if you haven't bought into that, if you don't believe that, then you don't get it. I'll tell you what, I get an adrenaline rush. I'm scared. I go out there and I preach the word to somebody. I tell somebody the gospel. I'm scared, but I get an adrenaline rush. And I'll tell you what, I come home and I am beaming. I am happy. You can't bring me down. Not with a 2x4, not with a 4x4, not with anything. I am up in cloud 9 because I give this faith all I have. Because I want to win this race. Christian faith can be as much or as little as you want it to be. And Paul's saying, if you want to win the race, you have to want to win it. You have to give it all you got. Well, the third thing he tells us, keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the prize. Look at verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Greek construction here is to say, I try to grasp, I try to lay hold of the goal that I might obtain the prize. The thing is, we should just want to be holy. We should just want to preach the word. We should just want to be righteous because of all the things that God did for us. Because of the fact that He loved us first and that He sent His Son, His only Son, to die on a cross so that you and I could be reconciled with Him, so that we could all be part of the family of God. He sent His Son to do that for you when you were still a sinner. And that should be enough to cause us to want to win this race. That should be enough to cause us to want to give our all to Him. But you know what? He knew in His divine wisdom that we're broken and that we are sinful creatures. And by His holy grace, He has decided to put a prize in front of us. He has decided to reward us. Hebrews 11:6, this latter half of the verse says this. It says, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God has set a prize before us for our efforts. Not that we deserve them. Not that we are somehow entitled to anything, but because He is a gracious, kind, and loving God that desires to reward His children when they do good things. It's really no different for any of you parents. For any of us as parents, it's no different. When our child does good, we reward them. When they do bad, we punish them. A couple years ago, my son came home and told me that he was playing pool at school and another kid took a pool stick because he didn't like something Tyler did. He wasn't malice or anything like that, but he took a pool stick and broke it over Tyler's arm. And Tyler's response was he balled up his fist and just about punched this kid. And he stopped himself and he just kind of said whatever and walked over to a teacher and told the teacher what had happened. And when Tyler came home and he told me, this kid got expelled for like 3 days. I was infuriated. I was both infuriated and yet full of joy. I was mad because of what this kid had done to my son. I was infuriated. I couldn't believe that this kid would actually take a pool stick and hit my son over something so trivial, over something so minor, and then get away with it, basically with a slap on the wrist. It infuriated me. I wanted justice, and it passed pretty quick, but I was upset. But at the same time, I looked at my son and I showered him with praise. I was like, well done. Well done. And I told him, he's sleeping right now. He won't get a well done later. But I told him, good job. Good job. And I was very impressed with his behavior on how he handled himself. That is exactly how God will do each one of us. Matthew 25 talks about God judging the lost. And he talks about the goats on His left hand. And He says that He will look at them and say, depart from Me, you workers of iniquity. I was naked and you did not clothe Me. I was sick and you did not visit Me. And so on and so forth. And they said, Lord, when did we do any of those things to you? And what was His reply? Whatsoever you have done unto the least of these, my brethren,
you have done also to me. See, God has that same ownership that we have over our children. You mess with His, and you're messing with Him. That is love. But at the same time, God rewards us. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was hungry and you fed me. Matthew 19:29. Peter looks at Jesus and says, Lord, we left everything for you. What will be our reward? And Jesus says, nobody has left anything, whether it be house or family or friends, and will not obtain 100 times that here in this life and in the life to come. And aside from that, eternal life. God will reward you. That is the prize that is before us. You run this race. You run it to please God. You run it to obtain the prize. Paul yearned for that reward. He yearned to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. And we run for the same excellence of hearing those words. We run for the glory that is before us when God rewards us according to our lives here on this earth. But may I tell you this? We will receive a prize. We will. There is a prize set before it. The Bible is very clear about that. That you will be rewarded according to your works. But the point, the prize, I'm trying to think of how I want to put this. Look at what he says. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? What is the high calling? What has God called you to be? A child. See, before you know God, you are a dog. You are a lost nothing. But God has called you to be children of God. Have you already received that? If you're in the faith, have you already received that? Absolutely. Absolutely. If you are a believer in Christ, if you have given your life over to God, you have already received the prize in a sense. Now, I don't mean to contradict anything I've said before. We have not obtained, we have not reached the glorification that we have the possibility of reaching, but we have already obtained sonship or daughtership. We have already obtained to the family of God. God has already rewarded you greater than anything you can ever pay back. So if you're going to run the race, understand that you're running for something that you've already partially received. That should motivate you. And I don't know why it is that that doesn't motivate us. I mean, my son, you know, he's, Dad, can I have $20? I want a new board. Yeah, if you mow the lawn and do all the trimming and pull the weeds, I'll give you $20. Okay, Dad, but I need the $20 right now because the board's on sale, and if I don't get the $20 right now, I'm going to miss the board. It's like, well, I don't know, son. You got to do the work first. But, Dad, that's going to take time. They'll be closed. I really need it right now. Otherwise, I'm going to lose the board. Okay, tell you what. I'll give you the $20. You do the work afterwards. You make sure that you get the work done, though. Otherwise, I'm going to take the board. What happens? He gets $20, goes down, buys the board. He's got the board now. Where's his motivation to go to do the work? It's gone. And I'm left with tall grass. and I got a board. But he knows where I hide it, though, so it doesn't do me any good. You know, he'll eventually do the work. He'll eventually get it done. But his heart's not in it. His heart's not in it. And see, I think a lot of times that's the way we look at our faith. We look at it like that. I've already got it. I've already got the prize. Why do I really want to run the race? Yes, this is the most detrimental thing. Because we rob ourselves of all the glory, all the prize that is before us. See, there is still a race to be run. And if we're not, if we're sincere about our faith, we understand we've already gotten part of the prize. That isn't to say that you've gotten all the prize, but that's like a teaser. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, it says that He has given us the Holy Spirit as the earnest of our salvation, the down payment of our salvation. It's only part of what there is to come. Run the race for the prize that is before you. The next thing that he outlines, he tells us, is of course, the Lord is going to help us to get it right. Look at verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything you're otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Perfect. As many as be perfect. Of course, Paul's not speaking of practical perfection, right? That would contradict what he said before. I don't count myself to be perfect. But what he's talking about is positional perfection. We are positionally perfect in Christ. We have received His righteousness. So what Paul's basically saying is, he's addressing, let us as many of those as be perfect. He's talking to the saints. Let as many of those of you who are saved be thus minded. Think along these lines. Understand this outline. Understand that if you're going to run a race, you can't think that you've already obtained. Understand that if you're going to win the race, you got to run for the prize. You got to stretch out. You got to give it all of your effort. And you got to forget all those things behind you. Think along those lines. But here's the thing. If you don't think along those lines, God's going to help you to think along those lines. How does God help us? Through His Word, through His Holy Spirit. What else?
Drips the rug out from under you.
Drips the rug. Discipline. Discipline. Isn't that how most of us do with our kids? Right? How do we deal with our kids? How does a father deal with his kids when his kids don't want to obey the plan that the father has for his kids? How does a father deal with his kids? Well, first he tells them, son, I need you to pay attention. I need you to do that. His word, right? He tells us. Then the father tries to, some fathers, a good father, will try to appeal to the son's emotions, his heart. Son, you need to understand how important this is. I really need you to get this. This is very important that you understand. You can't be hanging out down on 3rd Street at 12 o'clock at night. You need to understand the dangers there. The Holy Spirit. God helps us to understand the truths behind the word. He tries to motivate us. Here it is. And then what happens if the son ignores both of those? The whooping. The whooping. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Yeah, get this. Okay, get this. God wants you to get this. And if you don't get it, he's gonna convict you with the Holy Spirit. And if you don't get it after that, then what happens? You're going to get a whooping. See, I'm not trying to threaten you. I am trying to scare you. I am trying to get you to understand that that's what's going to happen. You see, the problem is so many of us go through hard times that there's no reason for us to go through. And we don't understand why we're going through those hard times. Well, I'll tell you what, here's the thing that the Bible tells us, especially in the book of Job, that Satan has no power over you except for what? God allows him to have that power. Satan cannot afflict you except God allows that to happen. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Let no man think. Now forget it. God is faithful and will not suffer his children to be tempted above that they are able. But we also know from Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good. They're all for a purpose. And when those bad times, those hard times come into our lives, they're there for what? To teach us something. To teach us something. See, we say Satan's after me. Satan's attacking me. But the problem is we give Satan too much credit. He can't do anything to you that God doesn't allow. And so when you're going through these hard times and everything else, you know, God's trying to teach you something. I'm not saying that if you live a perfect Christian life, you'll never have any hard times. That's not true, because there's always something to learn. But I'm saying the sooner you get what he's trying to teach you, the quicker you're going to be out of the hot water. This is a tough, tough thing to hear. But when we refuse to submit to the direction of God, his corrective hand is lovingly chastening us and trying to set us on the right path. And God wants you to win the race. Look at verse 16. Nevertheless, one more thing. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. How did we obtain what we've already gotten? How did we obtain our salvation? Help me out. By the grace of God? How did we obtain it? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith. That's how you got what you've obtained. It wasn't through a program. It wasn't by our sheer wit. It wasn't by our strategies. Everything we accomplished is purely by the grace of God. Through what? Through faith in Jesus Christ. That's pure religion. The same principle that saves also sanctifies. You understand that? That's what he's saying. Run the race through faith. See, as Christians, we forget that. We get saved. We see God do the impossible task, which is to justify us before Christ through our faith. But then as soon as we get saved, we start thinking that we can work for something. We start thinking that we can do everything else by our own service, by our own sheer willpower, by our own wit. I want to help you to understand this. So I'm going to sidetrack a little bit. Why does someone steal? Think about the root behind it. When someone steals, I'll help you out here. When someone steals, they are trying to save themselves. See, they're trying to take care of their own needs. Either that, or why does someone lie? To preserve themselves, right? To preserve themselves. Why does someone cheat? I couldn't hear that. What was that? Tony?
To obtain something that doesn't belong to them.
To elevate themselves, huh?
Yeah,
there you go. All sin inevitably is for one of three reasons. To rescue yourself, to take care of your own needs, to set yourself apart from everyone else, or to elevate yourself. That's what drives sin. It's not any more complicated than that. But the problem is that no sin can satisfy that need, that hunger, that desire to do that. No sin can do that. Only thing that can do that is what? Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ, you rescue yourself. We call that justification. You set yourself apart from the rest. That's called sanctification. And you elevate yourself. You don't elevate yourself, but God elevates you. We call that glorification. The three legs of salvation. Paul is saying to run this race by that same principle. Faith. Faith. So you let all that stuff go in order to get saved. You counted it all as loss, and you put all of your eggs in one basket, and that is Jesus Christ. And if you haven't done that, you're not saved. But if you have done that, you are saved. And he says, don't stop that now that you're saved. Don't start thinking that you can save your situation. But for some reason, once we get saved, we seem to quit trusting God for everything else. If our church is failing, we turn to programs. If our marriage is failing, we turn to psychologists. If our social life is failing, we turn to compromise. When what we need to do is let go of all of that garbage, all of that rubbish, all of that dung, and turn all those things over to God. You cannot run this race and win it on your own. God has to navigate it for you. Or to put it bluntly, you're going to get lost. You trusted God with the impossible task of your salvation. Now rely on that same faith in everything else, which is so small in comparison. Whatever we know, whether we know it or not, every one of us is in a race. Every one of us. A race against the opposition of the temptations of this world. A race against all the things that would take away from the prize that we already have in Christ Jesus. Prize that's already there waiting for us if we'll only run for it. And if we're going to obtain that prize, we have to forget the things outside of the race. We have to stay focused on the race. We have to reach for the glory we wish to obtain. Stretch out. Run your hardest. We have to keep our eyes on the prize. We have to stay focused, and we have to do everything we do through faith in Christ, Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you, and I just humble myself before you. You are so awesome. God, I struggle with this all the time, trying to make my own way. Trying to solve my own problems when I know that I can't do any of that on my own. I need you. God, I just pray that you would please take over my life, navigate, and I pray, God, that I would follow all these precepts, that you would just show me, God, how to be perfect in you. Lord, please let us all run this race with all of our passion, all of our hearts, all of our souls. Let nothing get in our way, especially not our fears and social inhibitions. We love you, God. I just ask you all, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I invite you to come up here.
If you want to pray with one of your elders or your deacons or with myself, if you don't know for sure you're saved, come forward and I'll show you from the Bible how you can know for sure. Or if you just want to come and pray with your elders and deacons, invite you at this time as no one plays. Coming forward, you're reflecting on the message.